Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cadila Healthcare Limited post-results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Ganesh Nayak, CEO and Executive Director. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening and welcome to our post-result teleconference for the first quarter of FY15. We have with us Mr. Pankaj Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Dr. Sharvil Patel, Deputy Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Parekh, CFO, and Mr. Vishal Gaur, Senior General Manager, Investor Relations. During the quarter gone by, on a consolidated basis, our total income from operations was up by 25% year-on-year to 20.5 billion rupees. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and tax, excluding the impact of exchange rate fluctuations, was up by 42% year-on-year to 3,714 million rupees. The EBITDA margin stood at 18.1%. Profit before tax, excluding the impact of exchange rate fluctuations and exceptional items, was up by 50% to 2,948 million rupees. Excluding the impact of the increase in depreciation charge due to revision in useful lives of the assets, growth in PBT was 56% year-on-year. Net profit, excluding the impact of exchange rate fluctuations, exceptional items, and income tax refund received in quarter one of FY13-14, was up by 39% to 2,364 million rupees. Excluding the impact of the increase in depreciation charge due to revision in useful lives of the assets, growth in net profit was 45% up year-on-year. Now let me share some of the highlights of the operations of the quarter. Our India formulations business posted sales of 6,749 million rupees, up by 8%. The growth, excluding the impact of NLEM and the discontinuance of the BI products, was actually 16.6%. We launched 19 new products, including line extensions, during the quarter, of which six were for the first time in India. Our business in the U.S. posted sales of 7,165 million rupees, up by 88%. We launched four new products in the U.S. market during this quarter. We filed 26 additional ANDAs with the U.S. FDA during this quarter. In Mexico, we launched two new products during the quarter, taking the cumulative number of launches to nine. During the quarter, we received the approval for five products, taking the cumulative number of approvals to 15. Our business in Europe grew by 9% and posted sales of 1,012 million rupees with the launch of two products in France and three products in Spain. We received approvals for four new product dossiers for the European market. Exports to the emerging markets grew by 19% and registered sales of 1,050 million rupees on the back of 12 new product launches in different markets during the quarter. Zydus Wellness Limited posted sales of 1,075 million rupees. Net profit of Zydus Wellness Limited declined by 25% to 171 million rupees. However, excluding the impact of income tax refund received during the quarter one FY13-14 and higher depreciation provision during the current quarter, the net profit is up by 5.5%. Our API business grew by 17% and posted sales of 1,007 million rupees during the quarter. Our animal health business posted sales of 737 million rupees, up by 24%, backed by three new product launches in India. On the R&D front, we completed phase 3 clinical trials for one of the MABs. Phase 3 clinical trials were initiated for one more MAB, and we initiated global clinical trials for one of the first generation biosimilars, which is currently being marketed in India. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are also requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Our first question is from Jiten Doshi of Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Pankaj Bhai, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Finally, we are seeing growth in the company. A couple of questions. How sustainable is this 18% margin going forward? And, you know, we had an we had our own site set at 20% plus margins. How fast now do you think we can reach there? My second question is, that given where the momentum is now, how do you see the whole U.S. business panning out this year and next year? And so what sort of visibility do you have for that business? And last question is, how do you see the entire consumer products business picking up? Because it's been lagging market performance in the last couple of quarters. What are our plans now that Sharil Bhai has come on board, etc., to take on? What are we seeing in that business going forward?
Thank you, Jitendra Bhai, for the question. I think, first of all, the current quarter margins of 18% and our expectation to move towards 20%, I think we are on track in moving towards that. It will all be dependent on another two quarters to really see the market spanning out, particularly in the U.S., which will tell us exactly when we can get, but it will not be too late for getting us to the 20% margin and going forward. I cannot specifically give you a timeline when we can get that, but I expect that the margins will continue improving. There are a lot of one-time impact in past and also now from the JV side, which ultimately will get neutralized, and then margin improvement will be seen going forward. As far as U.S. business is concerned, it is on a growth trajectory, and we expect it to remain on growth trajectory. We have a number of products launched, and we expect more product to be launched in future, which should help us to continue growing in the U.S. business. Last question was on consumer product, and I generally don't take question on consumer product in the beginning. I will take this from you, Jiten Bhai, but I would request every participant to restrict questions on Cadila Healthcare, because we are not able to give justification to Cadila Healthcare question. As far as Zydus Wellness is concerned, the company has moved to a distributor-led field force model that required significant reduction of number of stockists in the market by almost one-third from the earlier numbers, and also increasing the field strength by almost doubling the field strength from the current field strength through this mechanism, while making sure that the costs do not go up. Now, that whole rollout happened between in the last two quarters, in particularly the full rollout has been completed. We also launched some products, and we believe that that should all help us to see growth coming back as far as Zydus Wellness is concerned. You will see from this quarter onwards the positive change moving, and then we will see that we are back into the momentum.
All right. One last line, Pankaj Bhai. You think worst is over and we are on a good track now? Okay. Wish you all the very best, and congratulations again. Wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Our next question is from Anubhav Agarwal of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. One question on the R&D spend. If I look at your R&D spend last year, it was about 460 crores. What percentage of the spend would be going in generic I'm just trying to exclude your NCE and biosimilar spend.
About 80%.
So, Pankaj, if you look at now you're doing almost 40-50 filings. If you just divide this number and multiply 460 crores into 80%, and the filing spend for you, let's say 40-50 filings, the amount comes to be only $1.4-1.5 million you're spending on each product, where you're doing litigations, you're doing complex generic filings. My question here is, are you outsourcing part of your R&D, or is this all? You've been so efficient that you've been able to file 7 transdermal products in this small budget.
So we are basically doing everything in-house. We're not outsourcing. We've done a lot of things in terms of improving R&D productivity, and some of the factors are responsible for using costs being lower.
But
the last year base was high, so I think that helps us to continue maintaining the same number. It's basically productivity improvement has helped us figure.
The question I have here is, tell me if my understanding is wrong. Typically, a transdermal filing, you will at least spend about $3-4 million on a minimum, including the trials.
Right.
So I appreciate it spread over 2 years, but since you were doing 7 filings, I can easily assume that 2 or 3 of those filings would have spent at least $10-15 million annually on transdermal filings. Would that be wrong?
So your numbers are not wrong. If you look at general industry, we have some ways to make sure that our cost remains limited. So again, I cannot share more specifics about it, but that's what we are spending.
So, your previous quarter, you mentioned that this absolute R&D spend for you is likely to be similar this year as well.
Right.
And so that statement still remains the same. You do
right.
About 40-50 filings in similar spend.
Yeah.
Okay. My question, second question is on the authorized generic products that you have in the U.S. right now, 3, Devilprox and Fenofibrils, basically with Abbott. Is there a timeline till which you have this AG rights, or is this indefinite right now?
Well, there is no specific timeline described in that agreement. So, to my knowledge, I can give you more specific detail once I refer the agreement thoroughly, but there are not currently a timeline in terms of having any sunset clause on this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from Girish Bakru of HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just again on the R&D side, given 50 filings in the last quarter and another big chunk of filings, 26 this quarter, can you tell us if how many are Para 4 filings or largely these are Para 3 filings?
I would request Vishal to provide you this information.
Yeah, but if you can give a color in terms of would these filings mean that there are significant launches in next 1 or 2 years, or all these will be much later?
FDA's current average timeline for approval is close to 36 months. So if you expect anything which we file now in 2 years, it's not possible.
Right. So. Of course, then it would be fair to assume that a large chunk of benefit will come 2-3 years ahead, yeah?
Yeah, whenever the product approval happens.
Right, okay.
The rate can improve also, we don't know. FDA has been promising a lot in GDUFA, so maybe there could be improvement in the rate, but we don't know today.
At the same time, there are a lot of pending product approvals also, out of which we can get growth.
Okay. But, I mean, I'm just trying to assess, were there any ANDAs that you were not able to file earlier when you had the issue with the Moraiya facility that you're filing those now?
So, first of all, we never had any restriction on filing ANDAs from FDA perspective. So, we never stopped filing ANDA with FDA because of the fact that there was the only thing was that the new approvals were not given, but filing was not an issue.
Okay. The second question was on Niaspan. Can you comment on the launch of Niaspan and if that would be an authorized generic?
I can't specifically comment on that particular product.
And just on the launches from Nesher, how many launches can we see in this year?
One more launch we're expecting in quarter four.
In quarter four?
Yeah.
But the product that we launched in last quarter, has that really picked up in U.S. or is it still?
Yes, it has picked up in U.S.
So there'll be, what I'm trying to understand is, in that product, how many other players are there apart from you?
You are asking too many specific details, Girish. I would request if you can ask Vishal, he can give you specific information. I won't have every product-wise number of competitors retained in front of me.
Sure, no problem.
So I would request a specific question is there. You can ask Vishal. Vishal is always willing to help you.
Sure, I'll join with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Prakash Agarwal of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Question is on the India business. We have seen 8% growth YOY, and we have commented that excluding the NLEM and BI impact would have been 16.6. When you see that, excluding this impact, we will see a mid-teen kind of growth, which, the other industry players have already started reporting. So what's our thought here?
Our thought is, the fact that net of NLEM and these two products, the growth currently is 16%, and from this month onwards, that thing gets neutralized. We are aiming for, other than VI, I'm talking about the NLEM impact. And of course, some new products also have come under NLEM 2 months ago. But broadly, we are aiming at the mid-teens in terms of our growth for the domestic business.
Okay, so the next 9 months, we are expecting a higher growth to meet that target.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. And on the own product side, on the U.S., we have seen fairly good success in terms of getting the product approvals now. But the larger products still await approval. I mean, have we been hearing from U.S. FDA on the CRL front for the larger products which we're expecting, niacin, toprol, azelastin of the world? If you could give some broad level color.
Yeah, we do have received CRLs on some of the products. We believe that those products are under process of approval. We cannot give you a specific timeline for that because there is no timeline FDA gives these days. But we have received CRL, that means we have moved to the next step.
Understood. And fair to assume that there are not too many complexities on the CRL which could take a long time.
Yeah.
Understood. And tax rate, if you look at in the past, we've been under 15%. We moved towards higher tax rate of 17%. Do we still, our guidance was around 15% for the next 2 years and 17 was higher tax. So we still stick to 15% guidance or we move away?
We are continuing with 15% as a guidance.
Perfect. And last question before I get to the queue. On the Forex hedges front, in the past we have we had hedges at lower rates, which had restricted our gross margins. Now, I believe that Forex hedges are at higher rates. If you could give color on the Forex hedges, and if it is fair to assume that with earlier Forex hedges being largely over, we could see some gross margin improvement also?
So there are no hedges currently. Every situation is an open situation.
Okay.
All edges which we entered into earlier, they are all over by this time.
And that would have restricted our gross margins in the past?
Last year, yes.
Okay. And those would have been at lower rates of 55?
No, they were not at 55. They were around 59. But then actual rate in the market was above 60. So in that context, we lost.
Understood. Okay, great. I'll join back with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sonal Gupta of UBS Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Sonal Gupta, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. There seems to be no response from this line. We'll take our next question from Anshuman Gupta of Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to check. See, recently there was this announcement that you guys have also followed a price hike in warfarin. So has it contributed meaningfully to this quarter?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
So warfarin product, right? There was news flow that you guys have taken price hikes in warfarin. So is this a big product for this quarter?
We are not aware of any price hike on that product.
Okay. So the other question was broader on the US, right? I mean, the warning letter clearance for Moraiya happened sometime in July 2012, and it's been 2 years almost. And we have got about 15 odd approvals so far. See, one of your competitors, Indian competitors, actually, if you see, when their warning letters got lifted, they got almost, you know, 50, 60 odd approvals in a span of about 2 years. So, I mean, is there anything specific that is stopping us from getting approvals?
So I think there are some, if you file PEPFAR product, you can get approval. So PEPFAR products are priority. So if you see the number of approvals and if you study that, then you'll find a lot of PEPFAR products got approved during that period for that competitor. So from our point of view, our approvals are picking up and we are seeing that clearly. So again, I cannot exactly comment on that company because I don't have in their information. From our point of view, we are getting approvals and we will get approvals.
So this year, should we assume that you will get at least 10 to 15 ANDA approvals?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from Nimesh Mehta of Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So I wanted to know whether the India business reflects the higher trade margin that you have allocated for the NLEM products?
In terms of number of units or volumes, yes.
Margins.
Are you talking about margins or?
The trade margin. We had increased the trade margin on the NLEM products, right?
Yes.
Does this quarter take fully count, I mean full quarter impact or
yes.
Still
yes.
Partial? Or?
Yes, it takes into account the whole quarter.
And second, did we launch any other authorized generic in the US market other than the three that we had launched in the last quarter itself?
Yeah, we launched pericalcitriol.
Pericalcitriol?
Yeah.
Okay, can you give us some color about that product? How big would that be in terms of branded business size?
Sorry, I have no details. Since you asked me, I remember that. Details about that specific product, I don't have. Vishal can always share some information with you.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Arjun.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sayan Mukherjee of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So your opening remarks, I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned about some global biosimilar trials. Is it for the regulated market and which product is that?
It is for regulated market. We are not disclosing currently the name of the product. We will let you know once we file, but it's for the regulated market.
So is this a monoclonal antibody?
No, it's a first generation. It's not a monoclonal.
Okay, and you are already marketing that product in India, right?
In India, yes.
Okay, and the two MAP trials that you mentioned are for Indian market?
Right.
And when do you expect in terms of timeline for these products to be launched in India?
We expect next financial year.
I see, next financial year. And so just one more question on the U.S. in terms of the new launches, particularly, you know, Cymbalta, which I guess you had launched and authorized generic for Niaspan. I mean, what is the pricing environment like at this point?
There is a price competition as far as Cymbalta is concerned. It's very new, so we currently don't know exactly what kind of price erosion is going to happen. But there is a pricing competition happening in the US market as mm-hmm. far as Cymbalta is concerned. Mm-hmm. For Niaspan, I don't have any data.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir, and I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Surjit Pal of Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. One Brazil regulation says that if you file your generic along with pairing up with a branded product, you will get faster approval. Do you see any impact in your application? And what is that new regulation means? I mean, if you can.
So I have no idea about this, and we have not seen any impact, though we have filed products where we are both brand and generic.
Okay. And similar thing also, if you can see under regulation, they have said is that they will speed up. If your application is have some prior approval supplements, then it will be cleared within 6 months and amendments within 10 months. Do you see any impact going forward in your application?
No, that is for the existing approved product. What you're mentioning about any addendum is always for the product which are already approved and you want to do some changes in that.
Hmm.
That's what that this timeline applies. But as far as new NDA is concerned, currently average timeline is about 36 months.
Hmm.
Going forward under GADUFA, it has to come down to 18 months, but we don't know when.
I mean, they said it will take around, 3 days, step by step by FY17.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. Again, that is a public knowledge, we all know. But today, I can only give you that today it is 36 months average, and going forward, they have promised to go to 18 months.
Okay. Going forward in your US, your policy of launching AG more and more, will it remain the same or do you think that you...
We have a relation with a partner, which is a strong relationship. Any partner has an AG, they will definitely give it to us. So we are not going to stop doing that because of the fact that we have a relationship and this relationship is helping both the companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll continue doing that if there are opportunities. It depends upon if there are product opportunities again. But since they had not done it in past, that they have now done it, and now there could be possibility of doing it in future also. Whenever there is an opportunity for product to go, patent expires and AG generic competition is there, and the AG has to come in.
Okay. Few quarters back, you were talking about some important product to be brought in your hospital JV. Is there any development happened in
our JV? We did not talk about important product. We have mentioned about that we are expanding the JV with more products, and that is already happening.
Okay, so any large product or any significant product that could change the,
Well, they are not going to be exclusive product as we had in past.
Mm-hmm.
So that could not be huge opportunity,
mm-hmm.
but there will be incremental opportunity.
Okay. And the last question is...
That only we will see next financial year, once we have all approvals in place.
Okay. And the last question is that this latest price ceiling under DPCO, will it be, how far will be the impact for this year, cardiac and diabetology portfolio?
So the total impact on annualized basis on top line is around 25 crores.
Mm-hmm.
And on that bottom line is about 23 crore rupees. And for the current financial year, the impact could be something like 18 crore or so on the bottom line.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Tushar Manudhane of Quant Broking. Please go ahead.
With respect to ANDAs, which are pending approval, let's say 158 ANDAs, I just would like to have a color in terms of, classifying them into as oral solids, nasal, transdermal. Could you give the numbers for that?
We are currently not providing that information.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Chirag Dagli of HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what would be the MAT credit that we've taken in the quarter on our tax? The last quarter we were disclosing that number.
23 crores.
23 crores for the quarter.
Yes.
Right. And sir, if I look at our numbers sequentially, fourth quarter versus the first quarter, both the US business as well as the India business is much higher. And despite that, our margins, gross or EBITDA, have not improved. What is the takeaway of that, sir? Is the U.S. business growth much more inferior than what was the base? Is that how we should take it?
So earlier also we had mentioned that business mix affects the gross margin in weighted average terms. Because of the authorized generic business that we have in U.S., obviously is at lower margin compared to Zydus own products.
So even the EBITDA, sir, has...
EBITDA level there is improvement, but at gross margin level there is difference. So you can clearly see that because if you sell AG, the cost of goods will be higher, so the GC will come down. But at the same time, when you look at EBITDA, you will see the impact.
Yeah, so So last call also we had mentioned that you should look at EBITDA percentage.
So the scale up in the US business sir, over the last two quarters is predominantly AG products is the takeaway, sir.
Not correctly right, but there is a contribution of AG also in the growth.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Prakash Agarwal of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Question is on, you know, the U.S. Business showing growth. India, you're saying, is expected to come back post the NLEM impact and stuff. JV, you said, is going to come back in 16. So any color you could give in other businesses like Mexico and other emerging market?
So Mexico, we just began the journey. This is going to be a one full year of Mexico business happening first time. We have launched about 8-9 products already, and we have 15 approvals already in Mexico, so we will be launching in product and come to them. We believe that this market will rapidly develop for us. The other important market for us is Brazil. Though we have not significant growth in Brazil, mainly driven by the fact that we have no product approvals, but we expect that the product approval should happen now based on the meetings we had with the regulatory agency. Again, I cannot give you when exactly the approval will happen, but we believe that approval will start happening, and we'll see as and when we are launching product, the growth picking up again. So these are the key, and then of course the third important market for us is emerging market, where the markets are growing, and we expect good growth also coming from those markets.
And so animal health this quarter has grown 30%. Any color there?
Well, I think there are two reasons for that. One is, of course, the business has grown, but also there is some base effect because last year some of the vaccine products were not available, for which there was a lower growth in this quarter. So if you look at quarter on quarter, some growth has happened because some products were not available. We also launched new products, and of course the business is continuing to grow in. So like-to-like also business has grown, but because there was last year some product not available, now available, the growth looks a little higher.
Understood. And second question is on the transdermals. One is on, we were expecting some approvals this year based on the earlier filings. So are we on track on the development of transdermals?
Well, as of today, we believe that we should have approval. Again, it depends on FDA.
Okay, and just to follow up here on, in terms of the investments that we are doing, both in terms of filing and the capex for the facilities. So, how are we accounting for it? Are we, waiting for the revenues to kick and then take into P&L, or we have already started taking effect in the P&L?
No, sir. Plants investments, whenever the plants are commissioned, it is taken in the account.
Transdermal, we are yet to start the commercial production.
Yeah, and sir, for filing?
Filing also, we have not started commercial production yet, no?
Okay, just for the transdermals, anything is not passing through the P&L currently?
Correct.
Yeah.
Understood. Thanks, sir. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Aditya Aluwalia of Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi. So I just had a couple of questions on the U.S. business. First, how many more AG launches are expected in the U.S.?
Maybe one, but we are not sure.
Maybe one more. Okay, okay. And the AG EBITDA margins are lower than the company margins, or they would be higher?
EBITDA margin will be lower than the company margin.
Okay, okay. The second question is on the approval for complex products. So I know that, we can't put a timeline to when FDA does its work, but generally I wanted to get a sense that, from our experience of dealing with FDA, to what extent would you put the blame on us or because our filings were maybe in some way incomplete or some way not proper, and to what extent would you put the blame on FDA, for not giving the approval? Like, would you say that we did our work perfectly in most of the cases and it was just a procedural delay? Or do you think there was some lacune from our side also in the previous filings?
So I think I would say 80% I would blame on regulatory delays and 20% on our filing.
Okay, okay. So are you saying that we've corrected that in our recent filing? So now we are a little more careful when we are filing and we are like doing more detailed work?
See, what happens, we file so many. There could be always one product in which there could be issues. So I only think small number, 20%. Every product, it's only 20% of the total filing. So you can understand that every product is smooth. It can never happen with anybody. And it could be somewhere you can find that one product, there could be some newer requirement or FDA comes up. So then we can say, okay, well, that's our mistake or something, our missing out on that. So that's why, since your question was very interesting, I answered you also correctly, saying that 80% is a regulatory delay, 20% is. But it's across the board the regulatory delays are happening. So only thing is that since now we have CRL in hand, we believe that product approval should happen.
Right, sir. And can you just share the guidance? I did hear the number you said, but can you just share the guidance once again of the number of approvals you're expecting this year?
Yes, 10 to 15 for this financial year.
And how many have we got in the first quarter?
First quarter, we got 6 or 7.
Yes, sir.
We will give you exact number. First half. Oh, we follow the calendar year. That's why our problem is. So first half of this year, because we follow the calendar, we already have received approvals.
Okay. Sure, sure. First half.
First half, we have received 7 approvals.
7. And another 7 to 8 expected.
Another 10 to 15 approvals we're expecting.
Okay. Any injectable approvals that we've got, sir, amongst these 7?
We got one injectable approval.
And that is our product or with the partner?
It was our product.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no, there is a question from Gagan Tareja of Comgest India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Could you possibly give the debt and cash positions?
Vishal, your question is about debt, right?
Yeah.
Our gross debt was 2,624 crore rupees.
Okay.
And cash balance was about 564 crore rupees.
And what would the cash tax rate for the quarter be?
Cash tax rate would be about 20%.
And you indicated that there are no outstanding hedges. What is the thought process behind, you know, strategically keeping full open positions vis-a-vis having hedged positions last year?
So the idea is that we have a natural hedge with our U.S. exports, and we take PCFC limits against that. So we consider that as a natural hedge. Certain loans that we have taken foreign currency, we also have given loans in foreign currency to some of our subsidiary companies, which operate in the same currency, and therefore also, you know, at a balance sheet level, we consider there is some natural hedge.
Mm-hmm.
And because foreign markets are quite unpredictable, we have thought this time that rather than taking any call, let's keep the position open and wait and watch game. Also, because of the political, situation, elections going in a particular way, there were a lot of speculation in terms of what the exchange rate can be.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we thought that let's not take any particular stand and continue with the open market position.
Okay. And what could the effective tax rate for the full year be?
15.
How much? 15.
15.
Okay. And you discontinued with your agreement with Microbics on Kynlytic. What's the thought process behind that?
We did not find that we were not finding the investment to be made further would the commensurate with the return we might expect, and that's why we discontinued that.
And the matter regarding transdermals, which was subdued, is versus Mylan, has that completely been settled or is it still outstanding?
It is still outstanding.
Okay. Does that in any way become material to when you can launch the transdermals?
No.
Okay. I know quite a few people, you know, in have already asked you this, but I would like to repeat it again. I mean, given the filings, the number of filings that you might have made 2-3 years ago, and the fact that you know in the last 2 years you've not really had a very strong rate of approvals coming through. And off late also the acceleration is by and large because of the Abbottegi. I mean, could you maybe elaborate a little more on why the rate at which approvals are coming through for Zydus seem to be, you know, sort of slower than the peers in general?
I don't think currently we reviewed the approvals of different companies and we do not find our numbers are lower than others. So in fact, we recently reviewed the first 6 months, last 6 months approval of different companies and we do not see a significant difference in numbers.
Okay. Okay. And I missed out on the initial part. So if you could maybe give the total number of filings year to date and the composition, if I mean broadly in terms of how much are in transdermals or injectables and how much in oral solids.
So I think we can only give you overall number. Our total filing as of today is 249.
These I mean out of which how many are approved?
91.
And how many do you market out of those 91?
Out of
64.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from Prakash Agarwal of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just a follow-up on just a reiteration of what you said. 10 to 15 approvals you expect for this financial year, which is fiscal
right.
15.
From for the next 9 months.
Okay, and we've got one approval so far in this financial year, which was the injectable product, Emidate.
Emidate. Yeah, okay.
Perfect. So 10 to 15 approvals is what we're guiding for this year.
Yeah.
Perfect, great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ashish Thavkar of Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. So just excluding the filings that we have done during the last two quarters, could you let us know what could be the average age of filings in the U.S. market?
Average rate annually, you're saying?
No, the average age of filing. Like
age of filing. Oh, I don't have the data. I think we'll work on it and give you.
Okay. So, again, on the depreciation side, since we have done a revision, so for the future quarters, shall we assume a higher rate of depreciation?
Yes.
Okay. And one last question, sir. Can I have the cost of debt, the average cost of debt?
Well, cost of debt for this quarter is about 2.8% without forex impact.
Okay. And largely the entire debt is dollar denominated?
No. It's a composition of... out of the total gross debt of 2,600 crore, about 47% is denominated in foreign currency.
Okay, and the rest is in INR terms, right?
Either INR terms or local currency debt.
Okay, got it. Thanks, sir. That's it from my eye.
Thank you. Our next question is from Anubhav Agarwal of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so one clarity on the transdermal questions that you answered earlier. Sorry, I was not clear. So the 6-7 filings that you have made so far, the R&D cost, do you book that in the P&L or do you wait?
We are not booked in P&L.
So how will you go about it? As you get the approval, immediately will you book it or you will amortize over 10-year period?
We will amortize.
Why a different approach for transdermal?
Because it's a joint venture. No, it's not Zydus alone. It's a joint venture company under which the transdermal is filed. So that's why for the partnership, it is capitalized because there is no commercial activity today.
Okay, And would your annual report give the disclosure how much the cumulative you spend there?
Sorry?
We should have that there.
Okay.
It should be there in the annual report, and if you do not find, Vishal can help you.
Okay. Pankaj, can I ask one question on Zydus Wellness now, since we are close to the end of the call?
Yes, please.
I just want to check that after recent management changes of Zydus Wellness, Pankaj, is your involvement in the company in Zydus Wellness reduced now, or were you already spending lower time there?
I was anyhow not spending much time in there, and as going forward, we wanted to basically bring in newer thoughts and newer leadership. So as a result, I stepped down from the board and gave the opportunity to Dr. Sharvil Patel to lead it. And let's all hope that he will do well.
Yeah, let's hope that. But what about Kerala? So your time
I'm,
and...
I'm very much in Kerala full time. I'm not running away from Kerala, my friend. I'm here. I'm chairman and managing director of Kerala, and I am the chairman.
Absolutely.
And I'm fully active on Kerala. As far as Zydus Wellness is concerned, I'm still the shareholder of that company as Kerala Healthcare, and I will make sure that the company performs going forward.
Pankaj, just for the clarity, in the company today, of course, you have a chairman, managing director position. What are the activities in Kerala which you directly, let's say, the business managers report to you on?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Let's say the core part of the business, R&D, which is the main business which is directly reporting to you today in the company?
To me, I am responsible for finance, HR, innovation, and API.
And R&D will be looked at
by... Innovation is R&D.
Okay, got it. So generic R&D is part of that as well? Or only
no.
The biosimilar?
Generic R&D is not my responsibility. It's Dr. Sharvil Patel's responsibility.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from Chirag Dagli of HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, I was just trying to understand the finance cost on a 2200 crore debt. We have less than 100 crores of interest cost flowing through the P&L. If you can try and throw some color on how is it so low?
So we have a plain interest cost for the quarter, which is 2.82%. But if I consider mark to market as well as gain or loss on settlement, the rate comes to 3.12%. This is because of the mix of debt that we have in terms of rupee currency, local currency, and dollar currency. So we have been very aggressive in terms of our interest cost, and that has allowed us with discipline in terms of utilization of limits as well as a particular mix, which has helped us in terms of bringing down the interest cost.
There is no element of interest cost which is not passing through the P&L, right?
No.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from Gagan Tareja of Comgest India. Please go ahead.
You are seeking shareholder approval to increase debt limits, given that you already have the kind of pipeline that you have which can enable good organic growth. Why would you want to increase the debt limits?
Just the enabling resolution.
And could you also indicate what the degree of backward integration in terms of having your own API for the launches and for the products that you already have approval and you're marketing in US?
Approximately 50%.
And is that what will be for the future as well for the future?
By and large, yes.
Okay. Right.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sayan Mukherjee of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So just one question. You mentioned about capitalization of R&D spend at Zydus Technologies. So the increase in total assets that we are seeing, almost 80-90 crores every year, is that entirely due to R&D spend? Will that be the kind of quantum of R&D spend annual that is happening at that?
It is R&D spend plus existing plan, normal running cost, etc., etc.
Yeah, but will it be fair to assume that R&D spend is the largest chunk of this increase?
Yes.
Okay. And then on, you know, there are some products like, you know, Prevacid ODT, mesalamine, etc., which are high-value products. So have you received CRL for these, and how do you feel about approval this year?
We received some product CRLs. I can't tell you specific product. We believe that we are on the path for approval.
In this fiscal year?
I can't say that, sorry. I can't say that timeline. I don't want to commit a timeline because I cannot predict what FDA timeline will be, but we have received CRL, that's why we know that we are on the path of approval now.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Our next question is from Nimesh Mehta of Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My all questions have been answered. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Bhavin Shah of GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Pankaj Bhai, once your approvals, the pace of approval starts gathering pace in subsequent quarters, would you want to consciously cut down on the low-margin AG supplies? Or would you continue keeping them?
We will continue keeping them.
Okay. So any qualitative view on the Bayer joint venture? How is it progressing, the ramp-up? You know?
The ramp-up is happening well. The business is growing doing well. And our relationship is becoming stronger every day. So we feel it's a very good joint venture. We are very happy with what is the performance of JV, and moving forward, we have a lot of hopes for this JV.
In terms of launches and all, is everything in place?
Yeah, it is on place, and we are also planning to launch more products in time to come.
Great. So all the best. Thanks.
Hello?
Thanks. I'm done. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take a last question from Ashish Davkar of Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just one. So any timelines on the likely launch of generic Toprol in US?
I'm sorry, I cannot give you a timeline.
So what is causing the delay? Because, you know,
there is no delay, but approval has to happen. Now, I cannot say why the approval is not happening.
Okay. So is it that the FDA is asking for some additional studies from the generic companies?
Not really. FDA is not asking additional studies from generic companies, but they are... For critical products, they're increasing their scrutiny.
Okay, sir. No issues. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the floor back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to interacting with you again in the month of October for our second quarter results. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. On behalf of Kerala Healthcare Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.